Join us with our friends, Joel and Michaela, as we talk about friends and what friendship looks like in parenthood. Because I don't know about any of you, but parenting is hard and friendship in parenthood could be even harder. Making friends, keeping friends, modeling what good friendship looks like to our kids. We talk about all of this and more. We hope you enjoy. Well, hello there.
Hey.
You're here with the Gillettes.
I'm Matt, and this is my lovely wife, Nicole.
We're so honored and excited to share this time with you. This is the Raising Wonder podcast, and in it, we'll be exploring all things family and kid-related regarding how to raise children to see themselves and the world around them as wonders to behold.
Let's be honest. Raising kids is hard, and we believe that raising wonder makes it beautiful, too.
And wonder is multiplied in community. So let's get talking about today's topic.
Let's go.
Hey, everyone. We're here with some friends to talk about friendship.
Yeah, we do have friends.
In parenthood. And I would like to just welcome the two of you and then pass it over to you to share about what you do in our community and maybe how we met you, if you remember that story. If not, I can tell you. But we have Joel and Michaela Trousdale with us here. And yeah, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, Michaela, you want to go first?
No, I need to.
Yeah.
Yes. So we love the Meadville area. We love being involved in our community. And I work at a private school in our area as the assistant administrator, and I've taught in the past as well.
I guess that's my turn. My name is Joel Trousdale. Nice to meet you guys. What am I supposed to be saying? So what I do in the community.
What you do in the community.
Yeah. So I do lots of random little side things, but the main way I get to know people is through the coffee truck that I run, 205 Fahrenheit. So come and check us out sometime.
Put a plug in there.
I know, right? Coffee. Yeah. And be on the lookout for our coffee shop, which will be coming in the future. I am also the pastor of Radiant Church, so I have lots of hats that I wear.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you tell the story of how you met us? Because I like when you tell the story.
Yes. So it was a beautiful, sunny Saturday morning, I believe. Looking at you. Yeah. And we were walking around town. This is Meadville, Pennsylvania. And we were new to the area. And we had Nico and Alanis with us. I think Alanis was a baby. And we saw this sign that said coffee. And so, of course, you and I are like, what? Yes, let's go. And it was this cool truck that was serving coffee with these really friendly people off the side street downtown. And that was the first time that we met you. But then we got to know you more in other contexts and then like realized, oh, you're the coffee truck people, right? That's the very first time we ever saw them or met them.
I think
to them.
So.
Yeah, we got coffee before, and then we got coffee another time. But the funny story is when we got coffee another time, and you guys were closing, and we said, what are you doing today? It's a really good day. And you were like, yeah, I'm going to a wedding. Yeah, like, that's weird. We're going to a wedding, yeah. too. And then ended up at the same wedding.
Yeah. Small town. That's how it goes. Yeah.
But really, we haven't known each other like a super long time for how close that I feel we are.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm the only one that feels that close.
Stage 5!
But like when you think about it, and that's why I just think it's so sweet
so true.
That we wanted to ask you to talk about this topic.
Yeah.
Because we feel in our stage, we're currently in parenthood, obviously, and so are you. Would like to hear about that from you guys too. But it's cool to have close friendship with people like you. Even especially after not having been close, like, or knowing each other for very long.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it will give some encouragement to people who might listen to this and think like, well, that's great, but I really don't have that. Or I wish I could have friendship in parenthood because it's a real struggle.
Yeah,
yep.
And I think it would be encouraging to hear that it's possible and it's possible within, you know,
a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. So, tell us about your parenthood journey so far, about your family as much as you'd like to share, and just give a little picture of where you're at in parenting right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've been parents for 11 years now, which is
weird.
crazy. We have a daughter, Magnolia, who is 11. She's our elder child. And a son, Jet, who's 9. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say about the parenting journey.
He would like to
journey,
say he's soon to be 10. I just want to make
he
sure.
He would clarify anytime I say 9, he would jump
he's
in.
Way
almost
closer
10.
To 10.
Almost 10.
But, what am yeah. I supposed to add?
What's our parenting journey been like so far?
Oh, well, I guess like regarding friendship specifically, when we lived, you were going to do this part. When we lived in Dallas, so I used to live in Dallas. That's where both of our children were born. And then we moved here when they were 2 and 1 or 3 and 1?
2 and 1.
And when we lived in Dallas, we did have a lot of friends in the same like demographic and age group as us.
Stage of life.
Stage of life.
Young parents of young children.
Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And before that, like, young marrieds without kids, and then we kind of all had kids at the same time, and then here we have I don't know, just more friendships with people in all sorts of stages of life, which we have found to be so much better. We love yeah. our Dallas friends for sure, but it's so valuable to just have the variety.
Mm.
It's really
mm-hmm.
That's what I was gonna say too, is I feel like a lot of times when you become a parent, you think, like, oh, I have to have friends that
mm-hmm.
kids are in the same exact age of life. They can mm-hmm. play together, because if not, then one set of kids is going to be bored or one random kid's going to be bored.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids are very different age,
yeah.
very
yeah.
different ages. And as long as you're 5 and 4. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been great to grow our friendship and have see the kids
yeah.
all interact with one another, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking that too, like how you, it's so clear how you have just raised your kids so well. That's one of the things that I see in them, is that they are adaptable and easygoing to hang out with our kids who are quite a few years younger. They're really sweet and like patient with them. And I think you guys do a really great job of also not putting that on them too much at times. Like, you have good boundaries with them and you teach them that really well. And our kids love your kids so much.
It's so mutual.
Yeah.
Magnolia and Alanis are really little best friends.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear that you all started having like kids at the same time as your friends too, initially.
Mm-hmm.
That was not our story,
no.
really. We were experiencing that as the first in our group of friends, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
Mm.
Yeah, that's probably a different take
yeah, it's
on
a different
friendship
experience.
Too, because
yeah.
mm-hmm.
that was a challenge for us, where we definitely felt like, okay, well, we now have kids in tow. It changes friendship
it
a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. What was your feeling on that when we had Nico? And like, how did that change our friend group at all, or interactions?
Well, it's a hard thing to put in perspective, because it was also during COVID, so we
life
weren't going out
weird.
And life was so different anyway, but like,
yeah.
I do think, yeah, it definitely changed some of our relationships for sure. When Nico was born, like right before COVID time period, but I don't know, we brought him in tow
yeah.
to a decent amount
yeah.
of stuff. And I think he was like, you know, the token little chubby peanut baby. So the friends
yeah.
wanted to hold him because
yeah.
they knew
sure.
it wasn't their responsibility. It was just like
yes.
cool to hold him at that time, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it did change, because like people want to go out later. You got to
yeah.
change it around nap time. You got to, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're not doing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I think, too, that there's a lot of narrative that you have to have, like you said, Nicole, friends in the same
mm-hmm.
season and stage, and there's certainly benefit to that, and as we said earlier, benefit to a variety of that, but I think there's also this narrative like, well, when I have little kids, I have to have friends with little kids, and now I can't be friends with my single friends or my married friends, or vice versa. And I just think that that is such a lie that we believe, because
yeah.
there's so much value and benefit to having different stages. And man, those like built-in babysitters. And we had some friends that, some of the first friends that watched Magnolia was just a couple from our church group who didn't have kids yet. And she said, hey, can we watch your kids? We would love to have more experience. I know, like, John and I haven't had a chance to really babysit together. And
yeah,
that was awesome for us and awesome for them. She sought that out. And we're like, yes, please. Absolutely. We'll say yes to that. So there's not that it's just for the fringe benefits.
I think in addition to that, it's beneficial for your kids to have exposure to a variety of life stages and, you know, folks who are single and folks who are, you know, maybe married without kids, you know, to see that life isn't, we're not putting people into a certain box and all their friends are exactly the same. And I know that is probably not the way I grew up. And I remember even being in college and realizing I went to church one day and I saw a little like 4-year-old kid. And I realized in the moment, I was like, I don't know the last time I've spoken to someone outside of the ages of 19 to 21 or my professors. Like I was just like in my little bubble, and I don't think that that's healthy in the long term. So I think it's also beneficial for your kids to have that variety.
Yeah. Well, and it teaches them responsibility. If they're like, Magnolia is helping with your two right now, and that's so fun. And she thrives in that and loves that, and Jet does too. He does a great job with that. But they've had a lot of experience with that. Like you said, it's been very intentional, and vice versa. I love when they get to hang out with older kids, because then they get to have a different relationship there. And so there, and then of course kids your own age and same stages, like, it doesn't mean you start to have kids, you don't ever want any friends with the same stage, but we just kind of need it all.
Yeah.
Like, works together well.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a difference with experiencing that with friends that you've known already versus trying to make new friends in parenthood? Is it harder? I think it's just hard to make friends in general.
Yeah.
And then you throw parenting in the mix too. It's because you're just, you have, you're watching your kids, looking after them, raising them. And then also just you're, you know, experiencing exhaustion sometimes from that too. I don't know. I wonder about like making new friends in parenthood.
Go ahead.
I was just say it's like this idea of like going like on like a double blind date. Like you each know these people and they might be friends, but then one of your kids don't get along. It's like so many personalities involved in that. It can be challenging, I think, as a parent. I mean, let's just be honest, to find the time to do anything fun is for already hard, and then now you found time to do something and personalities may or may not match, but
And parents of like kids that are at home are often busy people, so you know, I definitely think my friendships definitely in like high school through college, young adult life happened pretty spontaneously, you know, and without much intentionality. It just happened to like the people I ended up hanging out with, and we had a lot of time, and you have to be more intentional when you are a busy parent. But I do think it's so important, and it's worth that sacrifice of saying, hey, we're gonna keep on pushing through. And also sometimes you try and make friends with people and it doesn't work out. And I think that we live in a lonely society, and it's important to just keep on pushing in and pushing through that, and recognizing it's not going to work with everybody. But it takes intentionality and time. And that's something that like part of our friendship story. It's funny that you guys asked us, because we don't feel like we're friendship experts, but it is something we value. No, probably.
Yeah, maybe somewhere. Probably.
But part of our, we valued friendships because we know we're made to live in community. We're made for relationship. And before we even got married, here's like, this sounds so ridiculous, but this, we're weird people. We were like, we need to have couple friends. Like when we get married, we need to have couple friends. We were in a long distance relationship and she was moving to Dallas. And so like, we didn't have those built in, so to speak. So we literally went to 3 different couples that we knew and said, we want to have like married couple friends. Will you be our married couple friends? And that's how intentional we've been. But it's important to say, all 3 of those did not work out.
Mm. And probably because we asked.
Potentially. But either way, that's the kind of, we never asked anybody from that point on. But
don't recommend
that's
that
been
strategy.
Our attitude for our entire relationship of we need to be intentional about this and need to like make this a priority, because we can lean on one another, but we also need to have friends, you know?
Well, and we each need other people very much. And I think that's true for everybody. You know, women need women and men need men in their lives. Joel's grandparents had this deep friendship with another couple. And like, I don't know, when did they start being friends? Early marriage. So they had,
what, they were like friends before
70 plus years of friendship. They moved from another city to another city with each other even. And just did life and everything together for decades upon decades. And so we're always like, we want the great, we want our own graces. Like, we want to have friends like that. And not everyone's going to have something that incredible. But to just have that mentality that, okay, we're looking for that. We're looking for long-term friendships. And that's really important. And sometimes that means you just make intentional choices not to continue to move to a new city for a great job because you have roots where you're at. And it doesn't mean you can't ever do that. We moved to, we still have some of our dear friends are still in Texas, and we're visiting some of them this summer, and they came up here. And so it's doable. We have FaceTime and there's ways to connect. And the same way, we kind of need these varieties. You need your daily people who are just in the grind, who are going to drop the coffee off when you are dying and bring you dinner when when you don't ask for brownies with
them. Let you borrow their car 3 times within a month.
Hey, our car is your car, and vice versa.
So I don't know if this is going to make sense. It's like still processing in my brain, but let me talk it through. So you brought up a really interesting point, Joel, where you're saying like spontaneous friendship and then like versus being intentional friendship. I feel like it's like they, those 2 things can actually go together. Like, I think that the way that you all do, you're intentional about how you structure your lives. I think this is my outside perspective. I see you be intentional about like, these are the rhythms we're going to have, or these are the, this is the type of, you know, lifestyle we're going to lead. And then in that intentionality, it leaves space for spontaneous things to just pop up. Because I think that, like, when you are so intentional about doing life alongside people in the way that you both do, then those relationships do feel like more just spontaneous and genuine. That's what I feel like I've seen why we've been so just endeared to you, because it's like we just, it's nothing like even that we're specifically like setting up all the time to hang out or what, it just like happens naturally because we feel so comfortable to just be like in life with you.
But then there's also the intentionality of like, hey, it's gone too far, we haven't seen each other for this long, and what if we did this like weekly thing that we're trying to I think we've actually been successful for almost half a year. Just want to say how that's been awesome. But so it takes both. And we try to be, I don't think we're very good at it right now, but try to be really intentional to keep margin in our life, because I want at any point, if someone were just at the drop of a hat or knock on the door, show up, I want to be able to push everything aside and fully give them every bit of my attention and efforts without this like, okay, if I have everything packed so full, if I move this, then I have to move this here, I have to do this here, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to get everything done. Well, they just really need to have conversation in that moment or that time. Or
well, I, I want to say, I think you're doing a good job at that. I mean, yesterday you did spend like 6 hours in the ER with a friend. Mm, you just dropped everything fun. And did that. Well, but we have to have margin in our life.
We have to have margin in order to do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys do that really well.
Mm-hmm. But and the margin gets filled up usually, but it takes intentionality on that. But it also, I liked your point, Nicole, about the two pieces of that. As I also think in the same way we were talking through, you know, how friendships are hard and it just takes so much intentionality to make them happen. But even making friends, when we first moved here, one our like first family friend that we really connected with,
the
family
two, we hung out all the time. Two of our like first
the one family group, I literally met at the library, which love the library. Go to the Meville Public Library if you live near Meville.
Such a
good library. It's amazing. They're doing so many things. Yeah. And ask them for their little brochure about just a little snippet of the things that they're doing. It's
okay. I've met people there too. That's a good spot.
It's a great spot to make friends. Yeah. Like the community comes together at the library. It's amazing. But I'll get off of my library kick. But we met these dear friends at the library, and we were great friends with them. The girls played together well. There were two. They had a girl the same age as Magnolia, and then they had up and move away, and then the same. Again, we just moved here, and in the first year, we were pouring into very intentional friendships, and there are three different, two families, one single person that we were being really intentional with and doing, like, life on life with, and they all moved within that first year, and we just moved here. We're like, great, all the friends that we worked so hard to make are gone. Yeah. But sometimes I feel like if you move to a new city, it takes almost 3 years. In my experience, most city moves have taken a good 3 years. Just to build some deep friendships. And doesn't mean all friendships have to be that way. But some of them have been like, we're just asking people to be friends with them. One of that friend group that I told you we were close with was literally like a matchmaking friendship. I don't know. We had someone you guys should be friends with these people. And then others were like so spontaneous at the library. So in the same way, making friends. And yet, we just don't want to get so blindsided by this is what I think my friends are going to look like, and this is what I think I want the life stage. I want to have these similar interests. It's we're not on eHarmony checking boxes to find a certain person. Like, what if you had some of the most unlikely friends that became the most dear friends because you actually need to learn from them and they need to learn from you, and you're way different than them. And I just think that's some of the most valuable. Not to mention, we talked about the different ages, the different stages. We all need the grandparents who are going to help watch your kids. You need someone who's gone before you. I think what was hard in Dallas is we're all struggling with all of the same things, and nobody knew what to do, and nobody even knew if we were going to survive. Yeah. And I remember calling some friends. They had done our wedding, and like, are we going to make it? And they're like, when your youngest turns 5, then you'll have some breakthrough. I'm like, oh, cool, which that is so true. So if you are in the trenches with littles, I hope that doesn't sound like a really far away goal, but when your youngest is 5, you'll like just breathe again. Yeah. But man, when you lose the last booster, whoo, you can go anywhere. But it's real life, yes. But I think that there's like different things that we need from those different types of people and different stages of life. And we needed someone to say, you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. We also needed someone who, like right now, we just went on a trip with people who their kids are upper high school and graduated, and like had really good deep conversation about what they're dealing with and how I can be preparing even for those moments. And so we need the people a few stages ahead of us to glean from and learn from and get wisdom from and to find out what not to do. Sorry, I took the conversation in a different direction, but as you're finding those friendships, leaving that space for spontaneity, leaving that space for intentionality or planning the intentionality, just we think we know what it's supposed to look like and just be more open-minded, I guess.
And it's so good for the kids to see that too.
Yeah.
It's so good for the kids to see that, like, you're not just waiting or planning for just like what you think is the perfect match, you know?
Yeah.
That like kids are struggling with this all day, every day in school. And I think it's a good example for them to see that parents like meet people and you're like, yeah, they were nice, but I'll probably never see them again. Or, you know, they were nice and, you know, we're going to wish them well, or, you know, I'm going to like invite you over and you're going to the kids are going to watch us struggle through a conversation because we don't have that much in common, you know? Like, that's
and interesting. And then when you do, to model for them, like, we're going to be friends with people who are in different walks of life than us, who think different than us, look different than us, you know? It's like, that's so great to be able to model that for kids. Because making friendship in childhood is really hard sometimes, too. And so what a good example we could lead. Yeah. So what would you all say to the statement that you have to be the friend that you want?
Man, some bombs over here.
Be the friend.
Do you think that's true?
Yeah, to some degree, for sure. I think friendship has to be going through hard things together. Like, one of the things we were talking about on the way over here, thinking about the topic of friendship, was like, you know, you've kind of made it with friends, or they're deep friends, only if you've had to forgive them for something before or go through some hard things with them. Like, if you have just had a bunch of easy, fun conversations with someone, they're more of an acquaintance. Like, a friend should feel like family, should feel like this deep bond of love. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds dramatic, but really believe that, because you have to go through those really hard things. And so I think that's where we can be the friend that we want to have. That's not exactly how you phrased it, but by just offering grace and forgiveness and doing enough life together that you get to those places. If you haven't rubbed elbows enough to get frustrated with somebody, then maybe you're not doing life as closely as it should be. And the beautiful thing about that is that you can then, if you're extending grace, then someone can extend grace to you too. And then it's through those things, after healing happens and the restoration, that you're actually, your trust is so much deeper, your friendship is so much deeper and more full, and just all around better in so many capacities because of those things. So it takes someone going first to do that. You have to almost like give that gift of going first to forgive someone. I think our culture is very, we throw everything away and we get a new one down to our plates and cups and things.
And friends.
And friends. Like, seriously, we just throw it away and get a new one. We don't fix anything. You don't even find handymen anymore that can just, you just get a new one. The warranty's out. Planned obsolescence. And it's, we do that with friendships too. So be the friend that you want to be or have is really means stick it out, I think.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Stick it out. I think stick it out in, so you actually answered it in a way that was different than I was thinking, which is why it's so cool to talk about stuff. Like, so you, it's like stick it out in the midst of a friendship that's already established. I was thinking about that question in, I asked that because for a long time I would complain that I struggled to make friendships or keep friendships. And then I think it just, you know, came to me at some point where I was like, you know what? I don't know that I'm necessarily being the type of friend that I'm expecting to just have, you know? And it's, sometimes it's like how you said, like, do it first or be that first. And so, and it might take time and time again. And I think that's important to tell ourselves too, of like, okay, well, I'm not going to say, well, I put myself out there that's this one time, it didn't work, and I just give up throwing it away. Like you were just saying too, I think that it, sticking it out and like being that person for other people, knowing it might not get reciprocated and it might take time, but like, I think it does eventually when you do stick it out.
And I think it's important for the listeners to hear that that's not easy, sticking it out, especially when it comes to relationships, because it's a vulnerable place to be when you've been hurt, which who hasn't been hurt, to step out on a limb and try again, because you're risking that you could be hurt again. But I've heard people say, you know, we have our deepest wounds from relationship, but we also get our healing in relationship. So if we want to be whole people, we need to we need to take those risks. Mm-hmm. We need to step out on the limb. And, you know, I think our experience in friendship has been that it's not going to work a lot of the time. And there's going to be some pain along the way with that. But it's worth that pain in the end if mm-hmm. you continue to stick it out.
Can I just give a clarification, though? I do think that there is a healthy place to set up firm boundaries with people. Oh, yeah. So just to clarify for those listening, like, stick it out, but not, don't be stupid either. Yeah. I don't know how to say that well.
Yeah.
Comes a time that somebody might be
taking advantage
of you. Totally. You could be enabling someone for, to use a catchphrase, a toxic relationship. Like, those do exist.
Yeah.
And so there is a time at which, for your own heart and family, you may need to have some healthy boundaries with someone where you can still love them, but from a distance. Mm-hmm. So just note that that is, we're not neglecting that situation as well.
Yeah, totally.
It's again, like, all great stuff to model to our kids too. So that's another beautiful part of being, what it looks like to be a friend and be a parent at the same time, showing our kids those boundaries, showing our kids how to stick it out when it is a healthier, a good relationship to do so. Showing love when it might not be reciprocated, it's hard to do, but it's good to teach them that.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you all think about responsibilities of, like, work, family, all of that, in the midst of trying to make or maintain friendships? Have you found some good magic ingredients of how to make that work? Because I think that is a really hard part of parenthood. I mean, it's hard in any walk of life, but you now have other people in your life you have to do it for, especially when your kids are a bit younger too. Like, what do you all think about that?
So I think the easiest thing to do, and perhaps a good thing for friendships, is to include your friends in on those things. And that's been what we've tried to do. And as I was thinking about this question, I was reminded of a book by C.S. Lewis. And he does not just write children's literature. He also writes some excellent nonfiction. And he wrote a book called The Four Loves. And here's my, like, nerd, like, could have been an English teacher stuff starts to come out. But he wrote a book called The Four Loves, talking about different types of love. And one of them, like, you know, romantic love. But one of them is the love between friends. And he said that romantic love is face-to-face, you know, eyes locking and, like, just, looking deep into one another's souls. But friend love is shoulder to shoulder, side by side, where you're looking at something together. You're doing some sort of activity together, whether you guys like to go hunting together or like to knit together or whatever it is.
All we're good for is knitting.
I picked the, like, most stereotypical stuff. Yeah, I understand. But that's, just do it together. And the reality is that as parents and people with jobs, that we don't, at least McKenna and I don't have, like, a lot of time for hobbies. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we can't invite a friend to go to the grocery store with us or to come over and, like, Michaela had some friends over a couple weekends ago to help her deep clean the house.
It was actually a great conversation. It was amazing. Yes. Shout out to these two friends. I was at the point of, I'm not going to get to this. And I also really need to hang out with these ladies. It's been a while. Come clean my house with me. No shame.
We have some friends a few years ago who, like, we had, this is the, like, spontaneous, intentional coming together. We had friends that we already knew beforehand that they were going to come over and help us paint our front porch. And then we had some new friends that we were supposed to be hanging out with. And they were like, well, are you guys free on Friday? I was like, well, we're painting our porch. And they just came and painted our porch with us.
First time we ever hung out with them. Brand
new people we didn't even know whatsoever. Cool. And now they're like we really good friends. We smoked meat,
hung out till like 9 p.m. Painting. Yeah. The kids just ran out and played. They helped paint for a while.
Yeah.
But it's like we live a busy life. We have responsibilities. Yeah. But that doesn't stop us from making relationships.
And just get humble to do it. Like it can be hard to ask people to clean your house with you. But yeah. It's so worth it and so good. Mm-hmm. And they are better at cleaning than I am. So it worked out for me. Just, it's not something to add into your life. It just should be a part of your life. Yeah. And it's so hard to think about things that way. And we're great. It takes the right people who are willing to do that too. So
yes.
Stick it out. Some people aren't going to love that. They're going to only want to go out to dinner on every third Friday. And if you can't do that, you can't do that. So shake the dust off your feet. Find somebody else. If they don't work, do the same thing again. Someone will stick eventually. And I think that's kind of part of the stick it out. Like you were talking about, Nicole, just waiting around till that does happen. And it will if you just wait for it. But you guys have been so great at that of, okay, we want to connect more intentionally. We're talking about doing that. And so we found ways to do that where even it works with childcare. So Nicole and I hang out one day of the week, and then the next week it's Matt and Joel's turn, and then we just alternate, so that's a blocked in time. But half the time you come over, Nicole, I'm so grateful. I'm still like unwinding from work, making dinner, cleaning something, wrapping my son's toe who he recently injured, and we're just doing it together, and then we can get to our walk or you help me make dinner and then we eat. I don't know. So not everybody's willing to do that, but find the people who are.
Something that has made me feel so close to you, because I think back to maybe other friendships I've had in the past where it was just like, oh, we just met up at this restaurant and it was like dinner out together, which is great, like of course,
absolutely.
But it's, if that was, I have had friends where that was kind of just like always what we did, and then, but to see you, or you to see me in, you know, our home setting or dealing with the real life. My moments of stress,
you can talk me off a wall.
And same for me. It's like it just makes the friendship feel more whole, and it has a depth to it when you can see that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of what you two do. I mean, we just mentioned you hang out, but also I'm thinking you've gone to the gym too.
Uh-huh.
That's something you two do together.
Yeah.
I like that illustration, the side by side. Yeah, that's really interesting. What were the other two types? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I have to look it up. That's so interesting. I want to look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so we are closing in on our time, which I knew would happen so fast. It always does, right? When you're with friends. But I think that a good spot to end is thinking about who might be listening to this. And we talked about like sticking it out, being the friend that you might want. And sometimes just, like being honest, being vulnerable, all of those things. Like, so if you were going to say to someone who's like, well, I just feel really stuck in parenthood of how to be a friend or how to have friends, what could that look like? Or I just want to... I've been excited by this conversation. I have some friends. I want to go deeper with that. Mm-hmm. What are some like really practical things that make like a good friend, quote unquote, good friend?
That's a good question.
Something that you might be thinking too, Matt, like what are thinking of someone in your life that is a good friend? Like what makes them that to you? Something really practical. Yeah. Someone can pop off this and do it. Like, you know,
right away.
This isn't so practical because you got to kind of go deep first before that. But one of my things was what Joel talked about earlier and being able to like have awkward conversations with people. And that I think, you know, I have a select small group of really good guy friends, but that's because we've called each other out and, you know, I don't know if it's the Jersey love language, but made fun of one another. You know, and then but then at the same time, like, called each other up, like, you're better than that, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's that, but that takes time. And very few relationships does that not take time in. You know, I have one of my best friends, who's also been on the podcast before, Trevor,
you know, that was a unique relationship, and we got really close really fast, but like, it also was because he called me out on some stuff, and I was like, all right, yeah, you're a good dude, and then we became friends, so,
yeah,
you know, there's that, but practical things for meeting people, I also think it's one of the, that you have to realize that everyone is going through tons of stuff too. So mm-hmm. you might see them at their best, you might see them at their worst.
Mm-hmm.
You might see them when they've told their kids 5 times to do something and they're not, you know, not following instructions, and you know, I don't know. I think it's just willing to be open mm-hmm. to people too. We don't all live the what we post on Instagram. So yeah.
What you just said made me think of one that I've had people recently do in my life, and it means so much, including you guys, with that aspect of raising kids, to maybe be a friend that gives your kids space to be kids, whether mm-hmm. that just means like they can mm-hmm. be comfortable in your home, or you set up something. I'm also thinking even of like my sister, we've talked about before, like she is sure to have things at her house, even though she doesn't have kids of her own. She makes sure they feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think also like when you're in those hard times with your kids, whether it's like a behavior thing, discipline thing, yeah. to there's like such a specific way that I feel like some people do it, where it's not just like, oh, we're going to pretend that this isn't a struggle for you, but they mm-hmm. can come alongside you. And mm-hmm. whether they've walked that path before, like we said, and maybe gently at the right time say like, hey, this, you know, this might help if you say this or do this, yeah. or even just to be by their side while, you know, mm-hmm. someone's having a tantrum or something like that. And to then also communicate, I still delight in your kids and I still mm-hmm. really love your kids. Mm-hmm. That means the world to me. Yeah. And that's, mm-hmm. I think yeah. some of my closest friends right now make that super clear to me, that mm-hmm. like
mm-hmm.
your kids, you know, sometimes it's hard,
yeah.
but like, and we can even talk about that, but at the end of the day, I still delight in your kids a lot mm-hmm. and I like mm-hmm. love them like my own. So I think that's yeah. something that I'm thinking of.
Yeah. On that note too, I think it's easy when we get together with friends. You get talking with adults, and maybe you've been sitting at home with kids all day long, but I've learned this a lot from you guys. We sit down at the dinner table, and Matt, the first thing, you're like, Jet, how was your day today? Tell me something about your day specifically. Or Magnolia, who's one of your, I don't know, ask a specific question. And so taking that specific interest in someone else's kids not only makes those kids feel welcomed into that friendship, but it also, like, as a parent, warms your heart and like, oh, they care about my kids too. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other thought, as you were asking for specific practicals, would be like, just get humble, and whoever, think of 3 friends right now that you are maybe missing or need some more connect time with, find something that you love about them, and then ask them specifically how they have gotten there. What have they done?
Mm,
if we ask somebody something like, wow, I feel like you manage your time really well. Could you teach me something about that? Or could you speak into that place for me?
Yeah.
People love to talk, and they love to talk about themselves. And so if you point out something good in them and ask for them to help show you that, you're really showing them value. And then that can just, it shows vulnerability also. So you're breaking down walls that they might have created, some narrative that you're some perfect person, and here you are sitting there insecure thinking they're some perfect person. And again, it's the Instagram reel. And so just say, I'm really struggling with my kid talking back. I noticed you handle that really well. Could you explain how you've done that?
Yeah,
that can be breaking down walls and building relationship.
Yeah. So my thought, and this reminded me just now, remembered the other part of what C.S. Lewis said about friends, is the like catchphrase of friendship is, you too, like, oh, you like art house indie movies too, oh, you like to make macrame too. I'm trying to pick more hobbies. Yes.
They have stepbrothers too.
Yes.
Did we just become best friends?
But yeah, I think the for people who are struggling to find friends, like, I don't feel like I have stuff in common with a lot of people, is my conviction is, you find, like, you get 2 people in a room, they have something in common. Mm-hmm. It might be difficult, might not be obvious at first, but we are all humans. We all have, if it's just, I love food, like yeah. everyone loves food, right?
You have more in common than you don't.
Probably. We have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. And so we don't see that because we're so focused on ourselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. This is one thing that Mekhi and I are constantly reminding one another of is, we just talked a lot in that conversation. We need to be better about listening and talking less about ourselves and asking questions about the other person. So I guess to like sum that up in one word is, if you want to find friends, be curious, like curiosity about other people. And that will, it might take time, but you'll find people that you have stuff in common with. And you're like, oh, you too. Like, I want to be friend with you too. So
that's a great suggestion, because that's a lost art that you don't find very often in today's society.
Well, you both are amazing, and I'm also just like, in my mind just made a picture of like the two of you in your truck making conversation with people, because you do it so well. Yeah. So anybody who's listening who's local, or if you visit the area, you have to check out 205 Fahrenheit coffee truck, soon to be coffee house. And text a friend, make a connection. Yes. Today, love you guys.
Thanks.